own, guaranteed.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Paul Bannister. The book is Tabloid Man. We're exploring all the strange things that he's explored and some of the situations where he might have put himself into danger. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Tech Night Owl Live. Okay, so if you spray someone with cyanide...
I haven't done that myself.
Well, I'm sure that you're not planning to either. But
it depends.
We're just using this theoretically. Okay, so this person sprays people with cyanide. Now, would an autopsy reveal the cause of death?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Well, actually, that's a good question, isn't it? I don't know. I'm not I'm not medically qualified to tell you. I'm sure if they looked for traces of cyanide, well, they'd certainly find them. But I guess if a guy just drops down in the street with no visible thing, they'd look and they'd say, well, you know, his heart looks, you know, his heart stopped. I guess they might say, well, it's okay. He certainly wasn't caught, and nobody suspected that his victims had been sprayed in the face. They caught him for other things. I mean, he shot some. He strangled others. He liked to do that. So I don't know what the autopsy would show. I'm sure it would if you looked for it.
Yeah, imagine being that guy's cellmate.
Oh, it'd be terrifying. He was a big man, too. He's like 6'6", and, you know, nearly 300 pounds.
Oh, you say he threatened you. What do you say? I'm going to kill you, Bannister, or something?
He wasn't pleased. You know, I'm just trying to remember exactly what he did say, thinking about that. He wasn't pleased that I wasn't it was a phone interview, fortunately. I wasn't face-to-face with the guy. I think what it came down to was if I wrote something that displeased him, it wouldn't be good for me. Now, this is a guy whose neighbor ran over a friend's daughter, and the neighbor vanished, and they found him in pieces about 3 months later. I mean, Kuklinski was not a nice, he was not a guy to cross. Some chemist, some pharmacist was bugging him over drug money. So he killed the guy, put him in a 55-gallon drum of concrete, and parked it near a hot dog stand. And he just left it there. And it was there for like 3 months before anybody moved it. He said, I go and have a hot dog and a Coke. It's like visiting the guy. Now, that's cold.
That's cold. Ouch.
Fast question here. The National Enquirer, did they fire you eventually? Did you leave? What?
Oh, no, I left. It was time to go. I'd been there 7 years. I was a senior reporter. I'd done all this stuff. I was never home. And, you know, I had a young family, and I said, it's enough. So I moved away from Florida to California, and then I continued to work for them and the other tabloids but on a freelance basis, which gave me more control. Instead of them saying to me at 4 o'clock on a Friday, okay, you know, get yourself out to Costa Rica or something, I could say, as a freelancer, I could say, no, I can't do that.
And usually with a freelancer, they would choose somebody who's closer to the locale of the story.
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
No, they didn't care about money. You know, when we had some pictures, we'd signed up some quints or sextuplets in Cape Town. And they were under contract and all the rest of it. And one of my friends, Vince Eckers, the photographer, taking the pictures, he was down there. And Vince had to get he was sending raw film back, you know. And they had 5 rolls of film to send back of the babies. And he sort of called the office and said, look, you know, I've got a problem here. We're not going to get it to you, you know, by Monday morning, whenever he had to get it there for this week's issue. Now, the thing was, the family were under contract, so really a week didn't make a difference at all. But Pope wanted it. And he said, well, just fly it directly from Cape Town. I said, well, you know, there's no flights from Cape Town to Miami. He said, well, just rent a plane. I said, well, you know, it'd take a big plane to fly across the Atlantic, South Atlantic, you know. He said, Boeing make big planes. The guy was ready to rent a jumbo jet to fly 5 rolls of film.
So what are we talking about here, $100,000?
I'd imagine a bit more, actually, wouldn't you?
Okay, yeah. I don't do estimates about planes. Let me ask you a fast question here. Did you cover any of the great conspiracy theories of our time in the part of your work? You know, we all talk about JFK, even the deaths of famous celebrities, some conspiratorial aspects. Any of these stories you get to cover?
Yeah, I do. I'm a bit vague now because there was Marilyn Monroe. She murdered. I remember that. Didn't they find evidence that she'd been injected in a very discreet place, which I won't mention on the radio, but... and the JFK one, I had a very intriguing conversation with a guy in, I think it was Salinas, California. He had pictures of the motorcade, and one picture in particular seemed to show the driver turning backwards with a handgun.
Well, shades of Bill Cooper.
It might have been. It might have been. In fact,
that was Cooper's theory.
That's right.
He was positive.
He showed me the print. Did he have cancer? Did he die of cancer?
No, he got shot by sheriff's deputies here in Arizona, just up the road from me.
Huh. That's interesting. I went to see him. I'm pretty sure it was somewhere like Salinas. It was Central California. Maybe San Luis Obispo.
Because I remember he had a copy of the Zapruder film that was probably a second or third generation copy.
Yeah.
And basically the debunker said, well, what you're looking at is the shine off the guy's bald spot on his head that makes it look like he has a gun in his hand. He did turn around and look into the back seat.
Yeah, he was certainly turned around. He seemed to have something in his hand. It was a print that he showed me.
Right.
And that could be... But, of course, you know, the big conspiracy thing is Whitey Bulger.
Oh, that's a major story.
Oh, indeed, yeah, yeah.
Why don't you give us an overview for our listeners who don't know who Whitey Bulger is?
Okay. Well, Whitey was a Boston gang leader. He was a mobster. He was actually the model for Jack Nicholson's character in the movie The Departed.
Right.
And he's been on the run for 16 years, and he's wanted for at least 19 murders. He had $1 million FBI reward on his head. This guy was so brutal. They reckon he was much, much more feared than, say, John Gotti. But his thing was that he did a deal with the FBI to rat out the Italian mafia in Boston. And in return, the FBI supposedly said, well, okay, if you don't do anything violent, we won't chase you down, but just turn over the others. Well, what Whitey was doing, of course, was getting rid of his competition. Unfortunately, Whitey and a killer called Flemmy, what was Flemmy's first name? Was it David Flemmy? I talked to Flemmy. Flemmy's in the Witness Protection Program right now. Anyway. These two carried out a whole series of gruesome murders anyway, while they were serving as informers. Now, other law enforcement agencies, including the DEA and the state police in Massachusetts, began looking into Bulger while he was an FBI informer. And they said, you know, we've got to pull this guy in. But an FBI agent, whose name was John Connolly, tipped him off in December 1994 that he was about to be arrested, and the DEA was saying, okay, we have Bulger in pocket, but Bulger gets a call and a U-turn, and the pocket had a hole in it, and he just went right off the screen. And of course, he was arrested. Now he's probably, or he's suspected of being, the man behind the world's biggest art heist. A whole lot of old masters and absolutely incredibly valuable paintings went missing from a gallery in Boston, and they're still missing. And when they picked Bulger up just the other day, he had $800,000 in cash and 30-some weapons in his apartment.
Wow.
In Santa Monica.
So even though he was being used as an informant, eventually they had to get him?
I think other agencies got him. And the thing is that he was on the run for so long that people are saying the FBI didn't want to catch him because it would reveal too much of their dirty laundry.
Oh, okay. We have Paul Bannister. The book is Tabloid Man and the Baffling Chair of Death, Revealed Shocking Secrets of the scandal sheets, and we're revealing some pretty interesting secrets right here. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Have you been sitting on a few great domain name ideas but haven't locked them in for yourself? Good. Now you can buy them through the number one domain name registrar, Namecheap.com, as voted by the top tech blog Lifehacker. Just like the name says, you can buy domains cheap, as low as $2.99. And every new domain comes with WhoisGuard, our special privacy service, free for the first year. Now that you know, it's time to grab those domain names before someone else does. Namecheap.com. Go now. Namecheap.com.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. July 1st, 2011. Gold opened this morning at $1,491.20. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,529.18, $764.59 for a half ounce, or $382.30 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,529.18, $764.59, and $382.30.
The Constitution and the Bill of Rights have been reduced to old relics politicians ignore, trample with their outlandish, overreaching policies. Your support for the Campaign for Liberty stands in the way of this insidious process. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I have teamed up with the Campaign for Liberty to offer the authentic proof quarter-ounce pure gold coin. For only $440 plus shipping, Midas will donate $100 to this incredible organization. Help fight big government by ordering your gold coin at 800-686-2237. You get to win twice by owning gold and fighting an overreaching government. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit mainmilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com. The main name in military supply.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
We're back with Paul Bannister, the tabloid man. We're talking about Whitey Bulger, this infamous criminal who was finally captured.
Irish Southie.
Okay.
Yeah, Whitey was a nasty piece of work. You know, he shot one guy in the phone booth, and he shot him so many times, they say his torso and his legs were just about separated. He strangled a couple of people, including a stripper, with his bare hands. Another fellow that he suspected of being an informant who turned over an IRA gun shipment, he took him down into the cellar where he killed several people in one of his houses in Boston and tried to hang the guy, but the rope was too thick to strangle him. And so Whitey did the nice thing. He said, "Would you like me to just put one in your head?" And the guy said, "Yes, please." And just coldly shot him. That was the end of that. But just an amazingly tough guy, you know, nasty, nasty piece of work. Apparently they're really celebrating. It's like Osama bin Laden has been caught in Boston.
Just a question that occurs to me as we talk about this. Gene Pope, because he was affiliated with organized crime and family and everything, did the government ever go after him or try to go after him because of his connections?
No. No, he was. I don't think he was involved in crime as such. He had all the connections, but I don't think he was ordering any, or doing anything like that. No, there's never any hint that he was a criminal himself.
He was just somebody making a lot of money from something.
He made a lot of money from a legitimate organization, but he still maintained his contacts. Obviously, I'm sure, but he didn't share that with me. But put it this way: when he left his home in the morning, his security guys would check under the car with a mirror, and the same when he, left the office in the afternoon. And they would take obvious precautions. You know, his office windows in Lantana, which is the Enquirer headquarters, were bulletproof glass. And
this kind of sounds to me offhand like the way that Roger Ailes of Fox News lives. He lives in an office with bulletproof windows because he's afraid people are going to shoot him. Mm-hmm. He's under heavy guard. He's got an armored car, really.
Yeah.
Almost the same thing.
Yeah, it's. I guess if you've got to live that way, thank goodness your conscience is clear, Gene.
You'd be a good subject for a Hollywood feature.
Oh, it'd be brilliant. I mean, the man was. I go to some lengths to describe Gene Pope in my book because he's the man who single-handedly did the most to change American media. I'm talking about newspapers generally. He brought that cult of celebrity to everybody.
Oh, man.
It wasn't just the Hollywood.
So now I know who to blame.
Ugh. Yeah, indeed you do.
Oh, boy. I think that was the death knell for America, for the Fourth Estate in America.
Isn't it strange, though, how much so-called mainstream journalism has embraced that sort of approach?
The thing is, they've gone to the lowest common denominator. They said, okay, we'll dumb it down. We'll dumb it down all the time. You know, you get a good magazine or, a good... do you ever read The Economist? It sounds terrible, but it's a really, really good news magazine. Yeah. Nobody reads it.
Just posted an article on the Paracast forum today from The Economist about Timothy Leary. And New York Public Library just bought his entire archive, and they're going to be releasing it in bits and pieces.
Excellent, excellent.
Well, we know it has two readers now.
Well, but it's quality journalism, isn't it, Gene? I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. But, if you want to read about Britney Spears throwing a tantrum, it's all over the news.
Oh. It's ridiculous. Anna Nicole Smith.
Charlie Sheen melts down. Oh, come on. That's not news.
He's high on a drug.
It's just a bit of gossip. And it went on for weeks.
Well, Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, don't talk about them. Pop-Tarts. they didn't ruin my industry. The people who paid to read about them ruined it.
Now, you mentioned before, of course, the classic Hollywood murder conspiracy such as Marilyn Monroe. Mm-hmm. Ever look at the conspiracy about the death of Superman George Reeves?
No, I personally didn't. No.
Okay.
No.
They had a book about that called Hollywood Kryptonite, and Ben Affleck played in a movie on the subject, which kind of suggests that Reeves was dating some organized crime girlfriend.
I see, okay.
And there was jealousy, and he was shot, made to look like, he was getting old and playing Superman. That's the only role he could get because he was typecast, and therefore he shot himself. I remember the headline, Superman Shoots Self.
Oh, bullet bounces off. No, the closest to, you know, conspiracies that would interest Paracast listeners is in UFO material. I spent 3 months traveling with Edgar Mitchell, Dr. Mitchell as he is. He was the sixth man to walk on the moon. He piloted the lunar lander. And the Enquirer in the 70s gave him a contract for several months to drag me around in his slipstream to go and talk to his contacts and see what big stories we could come up with in the Ed at that time was setting up his Institute of Noetic Sciences. He was investigating consciousness. And Ed, as you probably know, did some telepathy experiments on his way to the moon with a guy in Chicago, Olaf Johnson.
Yeah, not many people know that.
No, but and you know what's really interesting is a lot of those astronauts came back changed men. They came back religious or so interested in, as Ed was, in the study of telepathy, consciousness, the workings of the mind. But he told me, you know, we talked about this a lot because we had 3 months on the road together, which is kind of fun. But he told me one time he went down to White Sands the week before. They'd had a bird on the pad ready to, you know, to send up some weather satellite or whatever. And they had a high-speed camera trained on it, getting ready for launch that same day. And somebody noticed this frisbee-sized UFO circling the bird. He said, like a hummingbird up around a tree. And they had the wit to turn on the camera. And they filmed this thing. And it was a classic saucer, shaped like a frisbee, a little rounded and so on. And it was only about 14 inches across, they guess, you know, from the film. And Ed saw the film, he told me, and a couple of days later, he went back with a friend to the same person who had the film and said, you know, can you show this to my colleague here? The thing had disappeared and never existed.
The Men in Black.
I totally believe, Ed, that he saw a film of something. No,
you know, we had a theory. This is kind of funny, too. We had a fellow Brit, Nicholas Redfern. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, I know, Nick. He wrote a very kind review this week about my book.
Yes, I noticed.
I said, and justifiably so. It's a very entertaining book, and it's filled with tons of interesting little anecdotes that really give you a real sense of what it was like to be behind the scenes in such a paradigm-shifting organization like Pope had established there. And again, kudos to you. I'm really enjoying it. I haven't finished it, but I'm really enjoying the PDF you sent, and I appreciate
it. Thank you very much indeed. We'll talk about it. Actually, could I just explain something quickly here? I had to change printing companies, and Amazon had it online, of course. It was all there, and it's available as a Kindle on Amazon.
I'll tell you what, we'll have to do this break, and then you'll tell us why you changed printing companies. Then I have a couple of questions. Paul Bannister is the guest. The book is Tabloid Man. He changed printing companies. I wonder why. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans the galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide nationwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Is your church, school, or organization desperately looking for new fundraising ideas? Tired of the same old candles or candy, taking orders, inventory, and low profits? Well, here's great news. 10X Fundraising guarantees 10 times traditional profits with zero hassle. For an amazing free bonus, free shipping, and an extra 10% off, enter GCN when you go to 10xfundraising.com. That's the number 10, the letter X, fundraising.com. Or call 800-480-8797. Visit 10X Fundraising for 10 times the profit today.
Will you survive during the economic collapse or another deadly natural disaster? Your key to survival lies here at hardshoes.com. A former member of U.S. Special Operations knows what you'll need to survive in these hard times. Our online store arms you with extreme survival kits, self-heating food reserves, and more. For a limited time with any purchase, you'll also receive a 3-day survival kit absolutely free. Prepare now. The online store, www.hardshoot.com. www.hardshoot.com.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG clubs and survival bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
The mystery of the ages. Why did Paul Bannister have to change the printing company for the book Tabloid Man? Why?
Because it's a mystery. No, what happened was I found that the Amazon subsidiary that was printing the thing didn't have print copies available in the UK, only in the US. It's available in Kindle in both countries, in Europe and Australia and so on. So I said, oh, well, fine, I'll just move across to another Amazon subsidiary who can print it in both countries, the two major markets for me. Well, there's like a two-month hiatus before they can move it across. It's just, it's a bureaucracy. I'm not going to go into detail, but it's a bureaucracy. It's
publishing industry, and this is a self-published kind of book, right?
It is, yeah.
Sure.
This
is an interesting thing here. You know, one time you had self-publishing because people couldn't get a publisher to take the book. Now it has become a better way of marketing for some people.
It also has become a way of marketing when a publisher won't take the book, which is what happened to me. About 60 people turned it down. But that's actually part of the thing is that publishers right now are terrified. They don't know where it's going with the internet, and most of them don't want to commit. And if you're not writing a cookbook or a book about crime or a book about celebrities, they don't want to know. They say they don't have a niche for it.
If you're if you're revealing something from a politician. But you know what happens with some of these political books from a liberal or conservative? You have these think tanks that buy hundreds of thousands of copies and give them away as premiums for people to donate.
Well, that's likely. Yeah. Maybe if it was a tabloid think tank, we'd be in there. But anyway, if people do want the book before it's, you know, and can't wait a couple of months, they could always come to my website and order it directly from there, which is bannisterbooks.com.
Now, I want to ask you something here which occurred to me before we did our break about the astronauts. Is it landing on the moon, being on the moon, that changed their philosophies, or does that conspiracy theory arise, something happened there?
No, Ed expressed it to me that he said it was the sense of being away from your mother planet and to be able to look back at it and see it against the backdrop of almost infinity, to actually see that we're living on this beautiful blue marble and don't appreciate it. We're so concerned with traffic jams and overdrafts and all the things that the minutiae, to step back and look at the whole picture was the important thing. I'm sorry, I don't have a conspiracy theory for you on that, but that was their consciousness raising or changing event.
It wasn't so much they saw E.T. and had to spread the knowledge.
No, no. Shepard actually reported UFOs, and one of the, I think, was it Glenn, also reported mysterious happenings that they saw off the planet. But I don't know. I've not personal knowledge of that, and I would hesitate to sort of give an opinion on that.
Okay. Well, getting into UFOs, you covered stories about UFOs.
Not too many. The stories I did were mostly ghosts, spontaneous, you know, RSPK, psychokinesis. I went from Iceland to Brazil. I went to see probably the best ghost story ever, and that was the Enfield poltergeist. Not to be confused with the psychic chicken, that was a poltergeist. the poltergeist in Enfield was a talking ghost. They were actually voices coming out of apparently nowhere. The SPR, the Society for Psychical Research, put two researchers into that house for 5 months, or maybe it was seven. It was around a half a year anyway. That was their names were Guy Playfair and a fellow called Maurice Gross. And they lived with this family that were just beset by paranormal phenomena. I mean, I went along there and I saw some of that myself. And it's always very convincing when you see it for yourself. You know, I'm sure you know, Gene, it's not... somebody tells you, say, yeah, well, you probably missed this, but you go along.
Gene scares all that type of stuff away. He's never really had that kind of experience before.
They see me and they go there. In fact, if somebody, our marketing person, said to me, we should have a webcam, you know, put me and Chris on YouTube, I said, you want to scare all the listeners away? Look, we're in Atlanta, we're in New Jersey, we're in New York, the show is getting bigger and better. Why do you want to lose listeners? Fatal mistake.
Oh, what are you going to do when we go video, Gene? We're going to have to, like, get a cardboard cutout of
wear a mask.
You know, Tom Cruise or somebody.
Actually, Tom Cruise used to wear all those great masks in Mission Impossible, but I was thinking, in a sense, I can become like the shadow, you know, cloud men's and women's minds so they cannot see me.
Oh,
because
wow.
I will say, who knows what evil lurks in the heart of men.
And the shadow knows. In silhouette.
Can I just do this laughter?
Wow, that was good.
You like that, huh?
That was actually pretty good, man.
I'm going to sell that to Nick Redfern.
Mr. Colin.
Sure. I'm not doing it again. It's just a one-time thrill.
Nick's laugh is off the scale.
He's not a machine, yeah.
Nick Redfern has these fabulous laughs. We're thinking of looping them, just having him sit before a microphone and do laughs, and then we just play them.
You know what?
You're not bad. You do better trickster laughs, though.
Well, don't get me started.
Oh, the whole vocabulary of laughter here, I can see. This is going to be fun.
Speaking of UFOs, you knew people in the UFO field like Bob Pratt.
Yes, I did. I'll even assume another identity. Bob was a wonderful man, actually. He and I played tennis together and separately, but he was the Enquirer's UFO guy. I mean, and he traveled the world for them. I mean, my experience of UFOs was quite limited. I've got one or two stories for you, but no, Bob was a very, very diligent and well-respected reporter. I liked him a great deal. We used to play a trick on him, actually. We played a couple, to be honest, because he was well-liked. He kept a logbook, you know, of his fuel and mileage and so on. And so we started putting extra gas in his car while he was in the office. And then for a while we siphoned some out. But that got to be too messy and too painful. So we decided to do something else. And Faith, his wife Faith, gave us a key to his car. So we'd move it a couple of spaces from where he'd parked it. And this went on for probably 3 weeks. The guy was beginning to doubt his own sanity, you know, because he would always try to park close to the office. And it'd be three spaces over from where he'd left it. And, of course, he's dealing with, you know, some pretty spooky stuff in his stories. And he comes out, you know, and somebody's moved his car again. We finally told him. It relieved his mental stress quite a lot, I think.
It wasn't the Men in Black.
It might have been them as well.
Maybe. We are the Men in Black, the Galaxy Defenders.
Yeah. Yes, it might have
been
them.
Of course, we have to mention, Gene, the classic scene in the first Men in Black movie where Tommy Lee Jones is walking by a newspaper stand in New York and goes, oh, wait a minute, I have to check out and see what's been going on. And correct me if I'm wrong, Paul, but didn't he pick up a copy of the Enquirer?
I wouldn't have blamed him if he did. I mean,
and Tommy Lee Jones, Will Smith goes, well, what are you looking at that for? And he goes, hey, we got to get these stories out somehow.
Yeah, I've heard that. I'm not familiar with the piece. Of the phrase,
definitely worth you know, renting.
I should. Yeah.
And watching Vincent D'Onofrio, of course, who plays Detective Gorin on Law and Order: Criminal Intent, being an alien bug.
You know, I've just finished a novel. It's set in 3rd century Britain, and it's actually based on a true story. Maybe I should put a couple of aliens in there and a UFO.
Into
Roman Britain.
And cross-market it. Well, I have an interesting aside about Bob Pratt. He dug into the Dulce, New Mexico cattle mutilation cases in the late 70s. Yeah. Which actually are very important in terms of the amount of actual hard data that we have on that particular mystery. And one of the people that assisted him in the investigative work was my mentor, David Perkins. And I was speaking with David last night, and he was thrilled that you were going to be on the show and talk about this whole subject of tabloid journalism and the paranormal. And he mentioned a very interesting story to me, which I would like to quickly relate, and that is that Pratt was told by the headquarters to get a quote from Perkins that he thought UFOs were extraterrestrials coming here for purposes unknown or whatever. He was given a quote to sign off on, and if he would, they'd pay him like $500.
And before we get to the conclusion of the story, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey once said, we've got Paul Bannister joining us. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
The number one secret to having great health and long life is having high levels of glutathione. This master antioxidant is required by your body to stop free radicals, keep cells young, remove chemical and heavy metal toxins, support immunity, support liver functions, stop inflammation, and much more. The results of optimal levels of glutathione in your body are more mental and physical energy, stronger immune system, greater endurance, and more. Do you know the number one secret superfood that helps increase your glutathione levels by 64% or more? It's unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. This health food is amazing in its ability to do so much for virtually everyone. Introducing One World Whey, an industry-first unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Never buy home canning jar lids again.
No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids. The original since 1976.
You've heard great things about Berkey. You've been thinking of getting a Berkey water purification system, but for some reason, you haven't made your purchase just yet. Okay. Here's one more reason to buy the best water purification system you can buy now. The Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com is giving away free Pelican flashlights. Yes, with every purchase of any Berkey water purification system from the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com, you'll receive a free Pelican 2360 LED flashlight, a $39 value. But it won't last long, only now through July 15th. Hurry, call 877-886-3653, 877-886-3653, or shop online at GoBerkey.com. That's Go, B-E-R-K-E-Y.com. No coupon code necessary. A free Pelican flashlight is yours with every purchase of any Berkey water purification system only at GoBerkey.com or by calling 877-886-3653. Hurry, offer ends July 15th.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
This is Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear, and I'm here to say a good word or two about the Paracast, which I believe is the gold standard of paranormal radio. Listen to it if you can.
Paul Bannister joins us to talk about Tabloid Man and all the ramifications thereof. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberger in the Paracast. So you're telling us a conspiracy story?
Well, yeah, and I kind of questioned David pretty closely about this, and he said that Pratt was pretty uncomfortable, but it was almost like he was being forced to try to get this quote from David signing off on the idea that extraterrestrials were coming here, and I'm not sure if it was involved with the cattle mutilation story, but definitely UFOs were involved. And he was being offered basically a payoff to sign off on this particular quote.
What did David believe? Did he believe that ET?
David thinks that this is all the manifestations from the collective unconscious. It's all biological. It's closed system. He does not buy into the whole idea of ETs coming here. At the time, his thinking hadn't developed to the point that it has now. But he refused to do it. And then out of the blue, he said about a week later, he got a check for that amount anyway, even though he didn't sign off on it.
That's fair enough.
Which I think is pretty revealing.
Well, I'll tell you what, the money wasn't important to them. That's the first
Evidently.
Thing. The other thing is that it might be that some editor had got the idea, got a headline written in his mind. A wanted top expert. This is often the way that they did work, I have to say, and they certainly do that now. I can give you chapter and verse on that.
It's like the magic Christian. What's your price?
Well, yeah, they probably wanted somebody to say, UFOs are real, ETs are coming here. I mean, it could be as simple as that. Somebody's got that. They say, now, find an expert to say it. Just as I said before, whatever it is cures cancer, 29 people say no, and one says maybe. And so they probably said, well, get the best expert in the field. They probably thought he believed that. And if the guy says no, he says no. And he did say no. They probably found somebody else to say it. And
exactly.
That's my best
the fact
guess.
That they paid him anyway, the same amount, I find that very revealing.
Why not? I mean, he's cooperated in giving Bob an interview. It was
He's spent a lot of time with him. He took him all over the place. And, of course, it was all on the acquirer's dime, but...
Yeah, but it's probably just a thank you for his time. I mean, $500 is just a drop in the bucket. I mean, they don't care. Well, they did not care. Now they do. Now they can't afford freelancers. They're down to like four or five staff guys, and that's it. You know, they're totally out of money now. It's,
Well, Bob was a top-notch investigator. The Colares story at the mouth of the Amazon down in Brazil with the chupas and the deaths that were reported from these objects that were flying through the jungle. One of the most, I think, intriguing and pivotal cases in the annals of ufology, of course, is Jacques Vallée. Covered the case and worked with Bob in his book Confrontations, which is...
Well, didn't Vallée also write The Invisible College?
Yes.
And weren't there holes in that? Flaws in some of Vallée's findings?
Well, you know, Vallée's thinking, I think, is riddled with you know, questionable hypotheses.
Yeah, that was my recollection, and I wasn't working.
But at least he's attempting to think creatively. I mean, that's one thing you have to give Vallée. At least he's an out-of-the-box thinker. And I think Bob was more of a gumshoe, nuts and bolts kind of guy.
But the
combination of those two talents together is pretty daunting. And they did do some work together. And it's unfortunate that Bob's still not with us.
Right.
I think he spent years traveling around doing hard journalism for the Inquirer. And, you know, he was pretty much in charge of the UFO desk. Just countless stories that he was able to break through that publication before the internet, when we didn't have the 24/7 internet news cycle for UFO reports. I find out about UFO reports from the other side of the world sometimes within minutes occurring. Back then, you really had to dig for it, and Bob was a real trooper. And from what I know of his work, and you too. I mean, having a conversation with a ghost. I mean, boy, there's a lot of people in our audience that would love to be in a position to be able to document something like that.
We never went into that too much. Tell us about the conversation with the ghost before we go on. And get back to Bob Pratt.
Well, that's the conversation. Okay. There's one incident where a ghost overrode what I was saying and corrected me. And I've got that on tape. And that actually, your listeners can hear that on BannisterBooks.com. I've just a couple of weeks ago uploaded the thing. I didn't. I got my IT guys to do it. But conversation thing, we talk about the Enfield poltergeist. This house, the background to it was a family, a woman, desperately poor, four children. I think only three of them were actually at home. And the place was just bombarded for months and months. I think it went on for more than a year. Enfield is a suburb in London, and the family called the Hodgsons. They were getting obscenities and animal-like grunts and growls and screams coming in with nobody there. Then they were getting apparitions on the stairs, things, you know, half a man walking down the stairs, walking up the stairs, just the lower half of him. The children were claiming and were witnessed, actually. I spoke to them. They lived opposite the school, and there's a crossing warden there. And she told me she'd seen these children floating by the upstairs window. And it was a tiny house, you know, two down, two up house. And she'd seen the children floating by the window upstairs and their bare feet bumping against the glass on the inside. A neighbor said that one of these children had actually, it's incredible, floated through the wall into her upstairs bedroom. She heard a noise, went in there, and this child was in midair and then floated back through the wall. This apparition of the child, probably. I can't see it being solid. But anyway, so I show up there. So I can only tell you what I saw. I went in there with Maurice Gross, who was living at the place, a very respected researcher for the SPR. And as I went in, I was passing one of these children, about a 10-year-old, and a voice came out from near the child, and it growled at me. It was right down my ear. And I said, what are you trying to do? And the voice said, kill you. I said, what are you going to try harder than that? Because you sound like a dog. You just sound like a dog growling. I'm going to get you some Kenamite. It's in English dog food, see? That voice followed me around for the next 2 days, and he kept saying Kenamite. And I was laughing at the thing. I mean, I didn't feel particularly threatened. I mean, it was interesting. I saw furniture move, not just move, a lightweight chair spun 180 degrees. It moved 4.5 feet from a corner. When I was 6 feet from it, was one other person in the room, and the child, and she was sitting on the other side of the room, on the other side of the fireplace. Nobody was near it. I went and examined it. There was no apparatus. there were pools of urine kept appearing on the floor in the kitchen when there was nobody in there. There couldn't have been anybody in there. The door was bolted twice from the inside. The window was painted shut. I went upstairs. There was a noise upstairs. I went upstairs, and the bed had an indentation if somebody was lying on it. And while I watched it with a couple of other people who were in the doorway, the whole thing moved as if somebody was shifting in bed. Stuff went on and on and on. I was there for just a couple of 3 days, and I had a list of, 20 things that happened. Footsteps, doors opening and closing, even a piece of furniture balancing impossibly. It was a chair was balancing on two legs on top of the kitchen table. How did that get there?
Sounds like a scene from the movie Poltergeist.
Right.
Poltergeist, yeah.
Well, how did that challenge your thinking? I mean, when you went into the case, did you leave the case differently?
I'd had a few years of looking at this stuff, and I'd been to Munich to see a professor there called Hans Bender, who ran the Institute for something or other in Freiburg in the Black Forest. And Bender said that all these RSPK, that's recurring spontaneous psychokinesis, if my gabble is too much, he said that they're mostly a question of mental hygiene. There's usually an agent, usually an adolescent, who causes things to happen. So it's as if this adolescent, for a while, until they grow out of it, is able to affect the energy that makes things. For instance, you know that your desk isn't solid. It's a mass of protons and neutrons, and they're revolving in a pattern. And what holds them in that pattern is energy. And if you can affect the energy, I mean, technically, you could make your desk melt or something. You know, you could make your desk turn into a frog, or whatever. But maybe there's an energy we don't know about yet. I mean, what do we know about electricity a couple hundred years ago? We knew lightning. I mean, so maybe there's an undiscovered energy that is some kind of building block. And if you can affect that in some way, then you can, you know, you could melt the porcelain plate kind of thing. You know, look like
right, or create a tulpa, or create a temporary life form, basically.
Why not?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all you know, you're totally pulling down the barriers of possibility if you're able to actually manipulate the energy into a new form. Obviously, you can't create or destroy energy. All you can do is alter its form.
We can't alter this form because the sponsors beckon us. Paul Bannister joins us. Gene Steinberg is myself. Chris O'Brien is the co-host. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.